This is part two of a Bible teaching by David Ebal titled Parallel Parables.
The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I'll say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, bind them into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat to my barn. Skipping to verse 34, I'll come back to the others in a minute, not trying to cover anything up, but make up time. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in the parables. Without a parable spake he not unto them. They might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet, saying, And open to my mouth in parables, all other things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, went to the house, and his disciples came to him and said, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The fields of the world, the good seeds of the children of the kingdom, but the tares of the children of the wicked one. Enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest of the end of the world, end of the age, dispensation. Reapers of the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned to the fire, so shall it be at the end of the world, dispensation, or age. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Shall cast them into a furnace of fire, that shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall come the righteous shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now Jesus gave the interpretation of the parable to those who asked for it. But the others said, We see. And couldn't get it. I think when I travel and meet people and they say, have you heard this new idea? Have you read this new book? These are healthy people. Have you been to this new meeting? Have you heard this new Bible teacher? These are healthy people. Those that are out seeking new ideas and new thoughts are healthy. Declare unto us, show us, tell us, increase my understanding. Give me eyes that see and ears that hear. These are healthy people. The ones that I find that are unhealthy are the ones who say, We see. So I wrote a book about the tribulation. One of my relatives was asked if she ever read it, and she said, No. Why haven't you read it? Well, I'm afraid that if I read it, it'll change my mind. And I am happy in the social environment that I'm in right now. She was also astute enough to know that if her mind was changed, she would have to leave her environment. Some of you are not that astute yet. Some of you haven't figured it out yet. Some of you are still thinking that you can stay in your environment. Not when you get understanding. If you don't leave, they'll kick you out. Once you get eyes that see. There'll be various ways, but, you know, one way or the other, there'll be a division, there'll be a separation. I wish you'd hear this. Some of you are acting like, well, at least I know what happened. But what I want you to know is what's going to happen. If I could prophesy, well, I'd like to give you a prophecy for about 5 years from now. And figure out what's going to happen in your life. Listen. The things that you now present, I'm talking to every person here, the things that you presently understand and count dear will be passed away from you so completely. Your method of living, I don't want to say morals, but ethics, your principles, a lot of things that you were absolutely convinced of will have been gone away from you by 1979. In 1979, the way you live then will be so different than the way you live now that you're going to say, I remember. Do you remember when that guy, what was his name? Eyeball. Oh, no, it wasn't Eyeball. Ebal said he looks at the eyeballs. It was something else. And somebody will remember it and you'll say, That's right, that guy was right. The way we're living now is so different, absolutely so, completely different than the way we lived when we went to that meeting in Westchester in 1976. Now, in 1972, I made these prophecies. How many were here in 72? Or how many heard me teach back in 72? And back in 72, I told you the money would fail. Back in 68, I told you the money would fail. Now you're paying a whole lot more for your hamburgers and your eggs and your bread. Do anybody remember when it was four for a dollar on the loaves of bread? What is it now? 60 cents? Okay. One of these days it'll be $4 a loaf. But you see, you're still relating right now to what you're making at the moment. One of these days you'll be carrying $100 bills like you carry $10 bills at the moment. Say, that's impossible. Well, let me tell you, my daddy used to work for a dollar a day. Now people carry $10 bills like he carried quarters. Back in those days, he had a little coin purse, and that's all it took. He had some quarters and half dollars, and he'd go to the grocery store and keep us going. $5 a week was plenty to keep the whole family going. Paid the mortgage. Can you imagine? Yeah, I did. He paid a mortgage, bought the groceries and all that kind of stuff on $5 a week. That's hard to believe, but it happened in my own generation. And if that much change has happened in this span of time, the next span or period of time is exponential. So it's happening at an ever-increasing rate. This is where we are at the moment. That's where we've been. That's where we're going. Things are going to change. Without understanding, my friend, you're going to perish. Without a vision, the people perish. And without understanding, you're going the way of all flesh. Lord, increase my understanding. Lord, cause me to understand the parables. The first parable was the seed, and the seed was the word, and the word was sent out by Jesus Christ. But in the second parable, the seed, watch it. What was the seed in the second parable? What was the good seed? There were two kinds of seed. What? Yeah, but that's... Well, the word, that was what the word, the seed was the word in the first parable. Now give me the second parable. Say it real loud. The wheat is the children of the kingdom. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, and they were planted in the world by Jesus Christ. Is that right? And the bad seed are the children of the wicked one, and they're planted in the world by the devil. Is that right? Is that what he said? All right, in other words, in every Christian society, there's good guys and bad guys. Now quit looking at each other. You can't tell it that way. Let's read and find out how you can tell it. Verse 24. Another parable put he forth in them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like when a man planted good seed in his field. But I'm going to read it with interpretation. The kingdom of heaven is like when Jesus planted the good guys in the world. The field is the world, right? The field is the world. The good seed are the good guys. The man is Jesus, right? So all I did was read with interpretation. The kingdom of heaven is like when Jesus put the good guys in the world. Verse 25. But while men slept, the devil came and put the bad guys among the good guys and went his way. When the blade was sprung up, brought forth the fruit, then appeared the tares also. I'm going to say that again. At the moment, when you look at each other, you can't tell the wheat from the tares because we're not mature. But when the blade was sprung up and the good guys produced fruit, and what's the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, mildness, temperance. Against such there is no law, all the good things. These are the fruits. And when we produce the fruits, then we'll be able to tell the tares because the tares will look like the good guys, but they'll be fruitless. In other words, I keep praying for you fruity Christians. When the blade was sprung up and brought forth the fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the angels of Jesus came and said to him, Jesus, didn't you put the good guys in the world? Where did you get those bad guys? Is that all right for 27? Okay. 28. Jesus said to them, well, the devil did it. The angel said, what do we do? Go get the bad guys? He said, nope. I'm in 29 now. I've been going pretty fast. Lest while you gather up the bad guys, you root out the good guys with them. Let both grow together until the... Now, wait a minute. The harvest is the end of the age or dispensation. Now, would you agree that we're at the end of the age of the dispensation? And during the end of the age or dispensation, In the time of the end of the age, I'll say to the angels, gather ye together. First the bad guys. Well, that doesn't fit my theology. Well, here I was getting ready to get, you know. I'll fly away all glory and leave the bad guys here. I was going to let the bad guys have the will, but he's going to get rid of first the bad guys. Now, during the flood, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be during the days of the coming Son of Man. As it was during the flood, what did the flood get rid of? The bad guys, the good guys. And the good guys inherited the world, is that correct? Okay. First the tares, to bind the bundles, to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Well, we've done that with interpretation, but by quick review. The second parable is about people, but it's also about thoughts. Because the wheat in the first parable is thoughts, words, ideas. In the second parable, it's amplified to include thoughts, words, and ideas plus people. Therefore, in the second parable, it may be that another way to see it is that even from your own noggin, God may send angels to gather out some seed, some dumb ideas that have been brought here that we thought were religious, but really were placed here by the devil. Is that all right? So pray for an angel. If you are able to manifest love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, mildness. But if you cannot manifest these fruits of the Spirit, pray that no angel is going to come tear out your tares. I wish you'd hear this. That's the reason some of these guys are screaming. Have you heard them scream? And why are they screaming? Somebody's identifying the tares. God sends angels to identify the tares, and they cannot stand it. Because they're not mature, or they're not good seeing. Well, the other, you get the choice now. I hope you're hearing me, and I want to speak to you very carefully. Now, there are some people who are reacting very strongly against Bill Bredin and other of God's angels that have been sent to identify tarish thoughts. And because they cannot exhibit love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, mildness, they pray that God will kill us. And they do all other kinds of committing physical acts to harm us. Are you hearing this? Do you see why? Because they're screaming. They are Christians. But as the tares are pulled out, what's tares? Commandments, traditions, and men. Ideas that were placed there that are wrong and have to come out so that the whole thing can get straightened around. And so they're really uptight about it. And there are lots of people that you, and in fact, you can name some. I bet that at least half the people could name, fill in the blank now, would name people who are uptight about it. I want you to think about it for a minute. Either they're not mature or they're not good seed. We will give them the benefit of the doubt and assume it's maturity. Are you hearing this? Now, if you heard me say that, we're going to give them the benefit of the doubt and assume it's maturity. As opposed to not good seed, not good guys, but just immature Christians. This is where I learned to correct a mistake that I made years ago, and I want you to hear this very carefully. Years ago, I thought I was God's gift to go out and help people to understand what God is saying. And I made a mistake and taught what God was saying in areas that the people weren't mature enough yet to hear it. specifically the full gospel businessmen. Now, when you go to a banquet and you're trying to have fellowship, never have teachers. If you're going to build a group, if you're going to build a church with large numbers, get quartets and buses. Don't get teachers. Large ministries are never built on teaching. Large ministries are built on quartets and choirs, bus ministries, where the preacher never gives more than 20 minutes, and then usually it's 10 minutes at the offering, plus 10 minutes for something else, you know, to pay for the buses. Yeah, on the quartets and so forth. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
And the people flock. Now, when you're trying for numbers, don't use teachers. Use testimonies. Use emotion, but not logic. Now, some of you are grasping what I'm saying. We're not trying to put anybody down. I'm trying to categorize. Not trying to put anybody down. Somebody said, well, he's speaking against the full gospel. I'm not speaking against the full gospel. I'm trying to categorize and show you. I made a mistake by pulling out tares in people who were either not mature or were bad seed. And the result is the same with either bad seed or immature Christians. You see? There's the trouble. So it's for this reason that I avoid those environments now. And as a Bible teacher, create my own environment. And right here, I can pull out all the stops and go full speed ahead. Because this is not an emotional environment. This is a logical environment based on what saith the Lord. Is that all right? You see the difference now. And so I believe that I'm now on firmer ground, on a better situation where I'm not in one of those emotional environments or an environment that's based on trying to get more people in. I fully recognize that as a teacher, when you bring forth fruit and truth, that truth brings division and makes the groups smaller, not bigger. That's why you should not have teachers. That's why, after a while, certain full gospel businessmen's groups who keep inviting teachers get smaller and smaller. And the only way to build them back up again is to have a big convention and get some quartets and choirs and razzmatazz, a little romp and stomp, and some soft shoe. I'm not trying to put it down. I'm trying to explain something. Are you hearing me? Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? Now, I'm talking about full gospel, but I could be talking about your church. I don't know your church. I don't know where you are right now. I don't know what place you're going. But I could be talking about that too. Therefore, I would advise you, if you're on the board, to remember these rules. If you're still trying to pay off the mortgage, don't get teachers. If you still got a big mortgage on your church, get choirs, not teachers. Get quartets, not teachers. Stay out of the Bible. Use the psalm book. The psalm book teaches what we want to hear. I'll fly away, oh glory. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Oh, that will be glory for me when we all get to heaven. Well, let me tell you something. Everybody's not going to heaven, and they're still Christians. Some are going to be alive and remain the coming of Christ. And we're not going up to heaven. We're going to stay right here. And heaven came down and glory to it. That's a good song. I like that one. My soul. So anyway, I'm not altogether against the songbook, but I do find that the songbook does have many things that causes me at the present time theological problems. It's very obvious. I'm not going to finish, but let's try to finish as much as we can. The third one is on the mustard seed. The mustard seed is 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, now the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown is the greatest among the herbs, becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. I'd like to talk to you about faith and the kingdom of Orenos, the kingdom of expansion. I'd like to talk about the kingdom of understanding, because you get a little understanding and get some more. Are you hearing about the kingdom of expansion? Are you hearing about the kingdom of Orenos? Are you thinking about the kingdom of thinking tall? So when you're going to think tall, you have to think about your faith. Your faith is as a grain of mustard seed. There are some here who may say to me, or might say to me, well, now I don't have any faith. Now, if you tell me you have no faith, I'll have to stand right in front of you, barefaced, look at you face to face, and call you a liar. You are a liar if you say you have no faith. It's either you or Jesus that's a liar. He said it's granted unto every man a measure of faith. Now you could say, well, I don't have very much faith, and I'd agree. But if you say you have none, don't tell me that, or we'll be in tension and have a conflict. Now you may say, but I have so little I don't even know I have it, and I could agree. For when I was in Israel, they placed upon my finger a grain of mustard seed, in fact, quite a few grains. They told me there were hundreds of grains of mustard seed on my finger. But it was nothing but black powder. When I moved my fingers together, I could not feel them. That means it was smaller than a micron in size, particle size. That means it was smaller than face powder, and that's very small particle size. Yet, that small particle has within it a life germ, an ability to reproduce and create life, and become first a bush and mighty herb, and finally a giant tree. And the fowls of the air can come and fill the leaves of the tree, and finally it can even fill the whole earth. Your teeny tiny faith that you say you don't have. You can't find, you can't sense it, because you cannot sense that particular mustard seed or variety of mustard seed that I saw when I was in Israel. I assumed that some of that could fall in your eye and you'd never even notice. See, because it would be too small particle size to even irritate your eyeball. Would you agree that we couldn't sense it? Would you agree that you cannot sense your faith? But Jesus said you got it, so don't tell me you don't. But I'd like to talk to you about the faith for a minute, because we know that seed have growing powers and they have the life in them. Now, if you were to take your seed and place it in a mason jar, seal the top lid, and put it away somewhere, what would happen to the seed? Well, I want you to think for a minute. It may not die. Well, they tell me that seeds have been taken out of the pyramid over 3,000 years of age, planted, and they grew. We got peas. That's really splitting the peas. It has the ability to be dormant, but it has the ability to grow. But see, it can't grow when it's in the wrong environment. So you got to take that seed and place it in an environment where life-giving principles can operate on it. Moisture. Sunlight. Pretty soon we can have the whole kingdom. So what do you do with your own faith? Some misunderstanding about this, go to the desert, become monastic, cloistered. This, I believe, is a mistake. I believe you have to put your faith in the right environment. One way, one part of the environment is the moisture. And that's the tears from living in the world. For my friend, I don't think you're going to amount to anything if you become cloistered or monastic. I cannot see that you can increase your faith where everybody else is trying to be a Christian. Is that offensive? Are you offended at that kind of thinking? There are those who feel like that they are going to lose their faith unless they go to a monastery or unless they go to some kind of a cloister, or unless they go off to Canada or Columbia or something like that, or who knows where. But I don't think that's a place to increase your faith. Jesus said, you're a light. Put it out right where all the others can benefit from it and blow on it and do all the things that are necessary for that light to get stronger by increasing its own faith by the tears it has to shed from being in the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. So in that realm, since we're not of the world, we can get the light, the sun, the warmth from our Christian friends. So we should not forget the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. For you might have to water the seeds and never get any light on them. Never get any photosynthesis without the light of other Christians. Are you hearing me? Mm-hmm. So it takes both. And I believe that we have to come together, and I believe we have to go apart. Does that sound like healthy to you or not? Mm-hmm. To me, that's the healthy attitude. There are some who go all the way one way and some who go all the way the others, and I think they've made bad mistakes. Some Christians who think they can spend all the time in the world, I think they made a bad mistake. Some Christians who think they must spend all the time among other Christians, I think that's just as bad. I'm looking for a more moderate path, it's a hard path to take because it's the middle of the road and they're dangerous because traffic is coming both ways. And he's spoken to them in parables. Some had eyes to see. Verse 33, another parable spake he unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. Now the first 3 parables had to do with the planting of seed, and would you agree the planting of seed is the kingdom of multiplication, the kingdom of Oranos, the kingdom of thinking tall, the kingdom of getting bigger. Starting with one and getting 3,600. But now we get a woman, and she hides the leaven in the 3 low, in the 3, what was it? Measures. But pretty soon the leaven began to work. And after a while the whole was leavened. The next 3 parables have to do with something that's hidden. Why? Well, you see, when we look at the tabernacle, the door and the altar and the laver, the first 3 parables, are open to everybody. All Israel can come in. I believe I can do you better on that one. All Israel can come through the door, go to the, well, you hear me, Baptist altar. Come on, all you Catholics outside here. Come through this Lutheran door by faith. Come to where the blood is spilt. There's your Calvinist, Baptist. Now come up here where the Puritans want to wash you. Get cleaned up. Without holiness, no man will see God. And everybody can have these experiences. It's called Calvinism. It's the salvation of the spirit, the inner man. And it's available to everybody. But you know something? There's a veil here. And only 1/12 of the tribes can go on in. These are the kings and the priests. The next steps of God are hidden to all the rest of Israel. The next workings of God, the next parallels of God are hidden to 11/12 of Israel. Are you hearing this? Does that make sense? Do you see it? When we go through this veil, we find the candlestick, the showbread, and the golden incense altar. Well, the parallel that I've picked first is this leaven. And the woman hid it
please stop your machine and turn cassette over.